I'm going to pour myself a glass of wine.
Pour away.
I'm not an alcoholic.
I'm not an alcoholic,
what
but...
What day is it today?
It's Wednesday. Sports night.
It's actually lime soda.
Yeah. No, don't worry.
No, I'm taking the piss. I've had a long, hard day of work and it's hard being a man.
It's a tough it's hard being a man. It's hard being a breadwinner. Hello and welcome.
Yeah, I was like gonna do the intro and I was like, that feels wrong.
That feels dodgy now. I don't know if you guys have been liking this little free chatting that we've decided to do before the beginning of the podcast.
You think yeah, let us know.
Yeah, let us know.
Let us know.
We think it's kind of abstract
that.
In a good way. So we're doing our first nighttime episode. Ooh. I don't know if I'd quite call this nighttime. It's 7:25.
Yeah, it's so dark outside.
Yeah, and we're just chilling in the comfies. We've got a little glass of red wine going.
Yeah, it's a treat.
It's a treat. So team, today we're going to do our first free recording.
Yeah, we have nothing planned.
Nothing planned, apart from the title, Relationship to Self. I feel like, you know, when you're starting an essay and you just have the title and you're yeah. like, right,
what
so
do?
Where do I go? But except from we don't have the luxury of research, we're just, no. we're cutting straight
well,
in.
Do you know what we could do? We could start by the little thing
yeah,
that I wrote down
yeah,
the train.
Yeah, yeah, share the thing from the train.
Okay, guys, get ready for some really serious emotional stuff. Okay, I'm
this
joking.
This is a poem.
Edit that out. I was sitting on the train back from London yesterday and I was...
After V-Day.
After V-Day, I spent Valentine's Day with my lovely best friend.
Mm.
And my boyfriend spent it with her ex. That's terrible.
Dynamics.
I didn't know whether to leave that in.
Yeah, it's calm.
It's only jokes. You know who you are. It's fucking banter.
It's all love.
It's absolute banter. Okay, so the concept I had coming down on the train was the trials of being open. Being defined by thoughts and feelings you would not usually be honest about because people use what you say to define you. But thoughts and feelings are just that. Thoughts and feelings. Things that ebb and flow and fleet away into the distance whilst we're left with a solid identity that they shaped.
Whoa. You're a real writer, bro. Have you ever thought about getting into poetry? That's not even a cap. That's actually serious.
Thank you.
You have a way with words. But yeah, let's talk about that. That's a pretty big thing. That's a great starting point.
Yeah.
Game.
Well, I was thinking about it from the point of view of I'm an oversharer.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think I've said on the pod before.
But well, like, if we haven't, here we go, guys.
Yeah, like,
sharing overload here. Sauce is an oversharer.
I am an oversharer, and I also go through really weird things. Mm-hmm. Like, I experience very weird
yeah.
things.
Yep, yep.
And, like, my mental health is a very funny game that I play myself every day.
It's a roller coaster of emotions.
Yeah, and I'll find myself being completely honest with people about stuff, and it then, like, leaving me with a bit of feeling in my mouth, because I'm like, you now... And I do it, so I know you're doing it. Is you're going, oh, they're that person that has, like, low-key, like, is, like, a bit anxious or a bit, like, socially inept. Or, like, do you know what I mean? Like, not me,
yeah,
but, like,
yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I've
course.
Had conversations with people and then after it's been like, oh, so you're this, 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 and this.
Yeah, yeah.
When really, I exchanged a few words with you that you might not remember in the morning.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you know what I mean?
I think that's a real big... problem, actually, obviously, it's a real problem, that's why we're talking about it on the podcast, but I think it really stops people, if we're talking about relationship to self, and we're talking about that with regards to, let's say, true self, like, who
okay.
you are, and, like, your relationship to that, I think it really stops a lot of people from being who they want to be, because they're so phobic of the impression of other people, which, at the end of the day... A lot of people, that's how they base their identity, right? It's like on the way other people perceive them. So it will stop you from sharing things you want to share or talking about experiences. Like, I have a weird life. Like, I don't know why these...
Yeah.
I don't know why weird things happen to me, but...
We both have that in common.
Yeah, I think we really
like,
do.
People know us as people that have quite weird
quite
experiences.
Quite weird, really weird experiences. And they're never really planned. These things just kind of happen to me. Any close friends listening, I just encourage you to take a moment there to think about the strangest story I've ever told you.
Do you want
to
hear a fucked up
yeah,
story?
Yeah, I do.
This is like the kind of shit that like, if my parents hear, they're going to be like, why have you put this
in the podcast?
Podcast
yeah.
episode? But do you
yeah.
know what? Like, I really don't mind about these kind of things.
Yeah, that's the point. That's exactly what we're talking about. We're oversharers.
When you're talking about terrible things that have happened to you, mate, I used to clean my neighbour's house.
Yeah.
It's got nothing to do with relationships itself. Yeah, this is a free-flowing episode. I used to clean my neighbour's house, sips wine.
In Hell's Vape.
And I'm, like, estimating I was probably, like, 13 years old. And I was folding the laundry and she told me that the toilet was out of action for some time. Something had happened. Plumbing. They were sorting out the plumbing in the whole cul-de-sac.
Oh, God.
And I took it into account, but not really. And then I carried on cleaning and whatever, and then I needed to go to the toilet. So I went to the toilet, and as I was pooing, I remembered about the plumbing. So I got a roll of toilet roll and caught my shit in my hand, just wait, wrapped it up, put it in my pocket, walked back home, went to my toilet, which, by the way, is in the same plumbing, put it in the toilet. I can't remember whether it flushed or not. And then changed my trousers. My mum was like, why have you changed your trousers? I was like, I literally don't want to talk about it. And I just went back to work.
No.
It was, like, so fucked up.
Why did you put a shit in your pocket?
That's the thing, like, there's so many things.
Why is squidgy?
Like,
it's so many things.
I wrapped up so well, mate. But honestly, like, I can't say why I said that, to be honest.
Don't worry, I'll make you feel better. I also have a poo story. I was staying in my friend's house and she has a little cottage. And I think, no one knows this, so I think you'll know who you are when you're listening. And it's one of those, like, in the country, not got very good plumbing. And I accidentally took a poo and there was loads of people there and it wouldn't flush. And I'd been trying for ages and it wouldn't flush. So I literally, like, picked it up. There's no toilet roll. I literally pick it up and throw it outside onto the front lawn and then wash my hands and proceeded with the rest of the event thing that was going on.
God.
So don't worry, mate. We're not talking about oversharing.
Well, yeah, basically, you tell people your shit stories and suddenly they see you as a shit girl.
Yeah, well, please don't do that. No,
I mean,
do that if you want.
I've literally been there.
The poem. Where we went from, the poem. Telling people things and then them forming their, like, opinion of who you are from that.
I mean, like, I feel like it's unavoidable.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, we literally create sanity by forming our identity of the things we do and say and believe in.
Yeah.
And create, like, structure and choose our social groups through looking at other people.
And deciding.
And seeing what fits with what you do.
Yeah, I see that, but I also don't see that. Like, to me, I would say maybe for me that happens at the unconscious level. Like, consciously when I meet people, I'm not, like, not doing that, but I'm just kind of, like, I don't know, catching a vibe. I don't know how to explain. Like, for me, I'm maybe not, like, consciously aware of these things, and maybe, like, over time, I'm one of those people that I'll never, like, I'll judge, everyone judges, but, like, I'm very much, like, I've been in places in my life where if people had met me, we would not be friends right now. Mm. So I'm always willing to be, like, not necessarily the benefit of the doubt, but, like, just from one interaction, like, I'll form, like, my own opinion of you, but I'm not gonna
give you some working
months. Exactly, yeah, I'm not gonna 3 to 5 working days. I'm not gonna give, like, my entire opinion of who I think you are, unless you're an absolute arsehole on the first time I ever meet you.
Yeah, yeah.
But even still, like,
your nan might have died or something.
Exactly, you know what I mean? Like, people go through things. So, like,
I think our friend group is one of the, like, the most unjudgmental groups of people I've ever met.
And that's why I think it's lucky. Even growing up at home, I grew up maybe not necessarily an unjudgmental environment, but the people I was friends with were very much, like, nonchalant. Like, you know, you do you, and I'll just be here whilst you're doing you.
Yeah.
So I think that kind of plays into it. Like, maybe that's helped me form my identity of self. Like, because I've constantly received that kind of energy, that's now the energy that I carry with me. But people who are constantly, wow, that's crazy. People who are constantly brought up in that, like, judgmental environment where they're constantly told to, like, analyse other people and work from that. Like, the world is so irrational, like, be scared, and, like, that's maybe why that becomes, like, their relationship to themselves, like, their identity, who they are, and then they carry that with them.
Yeah, I mean, like, I grew up I think me and my friends definitely raised ourselves. Mm-hmm. Like, not that our parents weren't doing a good job.
Yeah, yeah.
They did an amazing
job.
No,
I hear that,
But, like, me and my friends raised each other, do you know
what
I mean?
For real.
Because we were, like, so close from such a young age. Mm-hmm. And, like, I think, to an extent, I think when you're young and you're really close to people and you can be open with people,
definitely
a lot of trauma bonding happens. Like,
yeah,
anything you go through, you work through with your friends, and you become very honest and open people. But I feel like we all came from not necessarily environments, but as individuals, we all held ourselves to quite a high standard. Like,
yeah.
I've got like a quite exceptional friends. Like, yeah. They're all like exceptional in their thing.
Yeah.
And I think I was always holding myself up to a very high standard because I have
them, yeah.
an amazing family who are very acute.
Yes.
Like, they're very aware of absolutely everything. So, like, if there was a lesson to be learned,
you learned it.
Best be sure mm-hmm. it was not going unnoticed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I think became a bit hyper aware of yeah. other people's flaws, other people's actions and stuff. And like, when I came to uni, I was definitely like a very judgmental person.
Yeah, yeah.
Like an extreme. I wouldn't hang out with you guys because no. I was like, they're not my people. Full yeah. stop. I haven't even met them. They're not my people.
I know. How crazy is that? Now we have a podcast together, but I do remember when I first met you. I was just like, all right.
Yeah.
Safe. Like, I thought you were sound as hell, but I was like, she just doesn't like me, and that's like,
she wasn't screaming.
Yeah, but like, you're just like, you're not giving me vibes, and that's fine. I was just like, cool, like, maybe she needs time. That's like where that comes in. Maybe she needs time to warm, or like, maybe
she's, exactly,
like, maybe she's just doing her own thing, and that's fine. But I can see for other people why, if you project that kind of energy, they'd just be like, all right, it's safe, like, I'll never speak to you again. Do you know what I mean?
I've never had sounds really pompous, man.
Oh, God.
I've never had an issue making friends. Like,
yeah,
if
no,
someone
no,
wants
no.
to be friends with someone, I've always necessarily ended pompous. Up, like, friends with them.
Yeah, for real.
But, like, I have definitely got a major flaw when it comes to the standards I hold people to.
Yeah, you hold people to your own standards, right?
Yeah, and they're fucked up.
Yeah.
Basically.
No, I totally hear that.
I'd say my relationship to myself is very intense and very anal.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. I think to some extent I definitely have a similar relationship, but I actively, as I'm growing older and working to grow away from that, that's not to diss your relationship
no.
to yourself at all, but like,
it needs to be dissed.
To me, that was just causing me a lot of stress and a lot of panic. It's the thing I was telling you about, the mindset shift. Like, I grew up in a very goal orientated situation, like school, I grew up in a very goal orientated group, people kind of wanted to do well, and I think for...
You are, like, a family of high achievers, I'd say, yeah.
Yeah, for sure, and for me, like, my relationship to myself became, like, validation came from things like academic success, right? And it's, like, if you do well academically, and people around you like you or whatever, then, like, you're doing well, you're fine. But it just became toxic, my relationship to myself, because of that. It was, like, if I'm not achieving... There was no, you know, if first you didn't succeed, try again. It was like, if you do it and you don't do well, you suck, you can't do this, like...
You stop doing it.
Yeah, stop doing it. That was literally it. It blocked me from so many things, because, like, I can't immediately do this. I'm just going to stop doing it. And then I found writing. And that was something that I really loved, but I was not very good at, being dyslexic. It took me a while.
Yeah.
But it was something that I was like, no, like, as I came to uni especially, and as I started journaling, like, this is something that I actually am going to keep doing. And like, I think maybe that changed my relationship to myself in that way. I kind of feel like I need to try and actually just let myself off the hook a bit. Do you know what I mean? Like, if I don't do something to the standard that I want myself to do it too, I'm like, I used to just immediately like, okay, all hell's breaking loose here, like, you suck, you're a bad person.
Yeah.
Now I'm trying to widen it out and be like, what is the context of the decision I made? What is the context of the things that I said, the way that I thought, like, the thoughts that, say I keep having the same thoughts, like, why is that happening?
Yeah.
I'm trying to take it more, like, holistically, is that the word? Like, see what's going on around me, rather than just, like you know, slating myself down for, not doing what I wanted.
Yeah. I think I used to, like, be like, I'm going to hyperanalyze my behaviour and my responses to my behaviour.
Yeah.
And therefore I'm going to get better from it and, like, learn from it. And that worked really well when I had, like, low cognitive ability.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, when you're, like,
totally.
A child.
Totally.
Because there's only so many pathways you're going to go down.
Absolutely.
Because you haven't, like, been completely traumatised yet. But, like, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, definitely.
There's only so many places your brain is going to go. So you work through it and you come up usually with really positive, well, in my experience, I came up with, like, positive stuff and everything. But as I got older, I would analyse things that can't be analysed because they are literally part of a mental health illness.
Yes,
what am I hyper paranoid about? Like, the most unrealistic things.
Yeah.
Like, overanalyzing those thoughts is not going to bring me any, like...
It's just making it worse.
Peace,
you're feeding the cycle.
I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
I've got an interesting question for you. So, self-esteem,
ah.
which is, like, quite literally the view of oneself.
Uh-huh.
Has many definitions.
Yeah. But, oh, yeah. So, tell me, psychology student.
Yeah. Well, self-esteem is broken down into two different things. Domain-specific self-esteem, which is, like, self-esteem that you get off academic abilities, uh-huh. attractiveness,
uh-huh.
sports abilities, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then there's global self-esteem, which is, like, the self-esteem that's supposed to be sort of, like, intransient through space and time. Sorry, this is not a fucking... It's like, it carries through without being deterred by environmental and okay. time-related influences. So okay. it carries on throughout your life. It's supposed to be sturdy.
Uh-huh.
It's like the overall view of oneself.
Okay, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So when it comes to, like, I personally believe, I mean, I'm still in the middle of
finding about this.
Yeah. But my argument, which I'm going to write in my essay, is more along the lines of, like, domain-specific self-esteems build your global self-esteem.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, yeah.
But it has been shown, like, through studies that, like, domain-specific self-esteem, so self-esteem based off, like, sports or something,
uh-huh.
Does end up causing more psychological pain and stress for the individual
mm-hmm.
than not having them.
Yes,
because they're not constant. Like, at some point, if you base your life of academic achievement, you're going to get a bad grade.
Yeah.
And then your whole life's over, kind of
thing.
Yes,
welcome to my life. Yes. Yeah.
So I think my question is, what are your domains?
What are my domains? Wow, that's a big question I've never really thought of. So I agree with you along the lines in general. Like, I think your domain leads to your global kind of self-esteem understanding. So my domains in terms of, like, what do I base my individual... Mm. Like, the individual things, I would say... Like, academic success is definitely one of them. I like to pride myself on being, like, somewhat academic, even if my grades in the podcast don't reflect that. I like to think I have a baseline level of intelligence moving on.
I mean, your grades do reflect that.
Yeah, well, we shall see. academic success is something that's important to me, and that's kind of... I don't know if that plays into it, but that massively impacted my overall view of myself, which is why I was talking earlier, like, I had to just let it go and realise that, like, sometimes you can't always be the best at these things, and that's completely fine. That doesn't mean you're a failure.
100%.
I think my other things would probably be, that's a good one. Sporting ability is a big one. I am just listing these back, but I am just thinking of things in my life. I used to be really into sports growing up. Like, I was really, really sporty. I still am quite sporty,
but... Seems a lacrosse girl.
Woo! Live, love, lax, baby.
That's shocking.
Yeah, but I'm obviously, like, coming to university, I started a brand new sport, and you have people who've been playing this sport, like, forever.
Yeah.
And it was just, like, a bit of a kick in the teeth, do you know what I mean? Like, wow, I can't catch the ball, and these people are...
Ego pushed out.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think that was...
You'll need them sometimes.
Yeah, for real. I think another self-esteem domain for me is, like, a vibe. I don't really know how to explain this. Like, the vibe that I am receiving from other people to me reflects kind of the vibe that I give out, and, like, whilst that's not always true, if I'm constantly being surrounded, I don't know if this really is, like, self-esteem, but, like, if I'm constantly being surrounded by, like,
a domain is other people's opinions.
Yeah, that's it. It's like, if I'm constantly being surrounded by, like, not even, like, opinions, but, like, bad vibes and, like, but, like, bad things, my own self-esteem is knocked, because I'm like, oh wow, I'm, like, projecting out, like, I'm giving out that energy and receiving it back, and, like, that really knocks me, like, as a person. I find, like, living or being or existing in an environment that is, that can have bad vibes, like, that does really impact the way that, like, I view myself, the way that I live my life, the way that I see other people.
Yeah, and, like, that's also a really difficult thing when it comes to relationship with oneself,
mm-hmm.
and doing what's best for you.
Yes.
Like, and this is something I have dealt with.
Oh, yeah.
Is having to leave certain relationships or certain experiences behind.
Yeah.
That shit's literally, it's never simple.
No, that,
like,
shit
we
breaks
all
me.
Say, like, don't surround yourself with toxic environments. And I'm not saying that person you're working with or that job you're doing is a toxic thing. But it's like putting oil and water together.
Yeah, exactly.
If you happen to be water and that happens to be oil,
it's not gonna work.
It's not always
and
gonna
even
work.
If you were both water at one time, or, like, the oil and the water works, but then, like, it didn't, or the environment then started, like, negatively reacting, like, you gotta just let those ties
go.
Yeah,
definitely.
I think that's something I find quite hard. I think I used to be a self-diagnosed people pleaser. I don't know if there's any others out there. I
still do it. I do.
Mm-hmm.
I will, like, lie, and I don't mean, like, just lie like I'm a liar. I mean, like, someone will ask if I'm, like, at work, they'll be like, oh, can you work Saturday?
Yeah.
And I'll literally know I can't work Saturday, and I'll go, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I'll go home and I'll be like,
why did I
well,
do
now
that?
I need to text uh-huh. you. Like, I'm so sorry. I actually can't fucking work.
Yeah, and then you don't even end up being the people pleaser. Then
yeah,
you just
everyone just fucking hates you.
Yeah, you're just scatty. Yeah, exactly. Well, that was, like, a big problem I had. So, like, letting people go or letting part... Something that I've come up, like, has come up in my life a lot recently. Like, as I get older, I think it's quite natural for a lot of people... letting things go, like letting relationships go, letting kind of experiences go in order to better my relationship to myself.
Yeah.
Because these things were negatively impacting the way that I saw myself and the way that I was with myself.
Yeah.
And I would take the projection of that and really, really like, because my friends, as we talked about in the previous episode, they mean a lot to me. So when relationships start going sour, or things start going wrong, it really impacts me.
Yeah, definitely.
And I almost don't want to let it go because I'm so like, oh, but I have so much love for this person.
Yeah.
But sometimes you just, like, in order to have that relationship to yourself that is, like, everything that you want, sometimes you have to let these things go.
100%. There was something that I thought about a minute ago to talk about, and it's kind of, it's an interesting one. I've read some Guardian articles.
Whoa!
Mainly because my mum sends me a Guardian article once in a while, which I feel so bad. I'm sorry, Mum. I often don't open them.
No.
But it's just like
my dad sends.
I struggle. I struggle. So I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. I struggle to like open messages.
Oh, yeah.
And reply to messages. I really struggle. It's like an overload.
I have the
let
same.
Let me just leave it closed.
I didn't want to look at the amount of Snapchats I have unopened.
Yeah, I've got...
Oh. It's not personal.
No,
it's really not
no,
personal. I just can't do it.
I mean, it is personal. I'm personally unable.
It's my personal, not your
I'm
personal.
I'm debilitated.
Uh-huh.
But I've seen a couple articles about... not the positives of mental health problems.
Yeah.
But the culture...
There definitely
that,
are some.
Well, the culture of like... mental health problems are bad and mental health problems need to be solved. And, like, realistically, everyone's always struggled. That's always been part of the human condition. And I was going to talk a little bit about, like, weirdly, the positives of mental health.
Uh-huh.
Because, like, I'm not even being dramatic. I struggle every day.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people do.
Yeah, definitely.
It doesn't mean every day's bad.
No.
I fucking love life.
Uh-huh. But every day's still a struggle.
Every day's... I still
whether it's 1 minute, whether it's 10 minutes.
Yeah. Whether it's in the morning, whether it's in the middle of, like, literally, it will just happen sometimes,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I was thinking about it, and I have to say, throughout my life, one thing that was always a positive, and I'm not sure that I can say it's a positive now,
yeah.
But it has been, so it must be for someone else at some point in their life,
yeah.
Is that thing of ego death.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sometimes my ego got way too big.
Yes.
And sometimes I thought I was too important. And too cool,
mm-hmm.
and too better than everyone else,
yeah.
and too unique.
I'm it.
Yeah. And then mental health would come and absolutely
destroy
it. Me.
Yeah. Throttle that.
What it does is it breaks you into 100 million pieces, and then you have to put that back together.
Yeah.
And the only thing you can put back together with that little bit of energy you have is the stuff that means something.
Yes, yes. I've never thought of it that way. That's actually a great way. If you look at mental health, like, when you hit a crisis moment as a reset rather than, like, a be end and end all. Like, now this is time for me to purge shit that's got me here.
Yeah.
And time for me to hold on to the shit that I want to take forward.
Like, if you see your body as a house, or like people like to see their body as a temple.
Yeah, I like the house.
So,
it's the home.
Yeah, see your body as the home. The home's on fucking fire.
Mm-hmm.
You have to grab a few things right now,
mm-hmm.
and you need to run.
And take that forward,
like,
yeah.
You need to pick those things. And those things are going to be, ideally, not narcissism, hatred, and gossiping.
Yeah.
Like, one would hope that'd be, like, just, like, humbleness, like, kindness and love.
Mm-hmm.
Like, most of my absolute mental breakdowns have resulted in, I just need to be kinder.
Yeah.
I need to be more understanding.
Yeah.
I need
to yourself
be less judgmental.
Or to other people. Or to both.
I never really add myself into the equation.
Fair enough.
But we're getting there. But it's funny how we say, like, we need to be kinder to ourselves and stuff. But more time, we still get annoyed with people because we think they're being self-centered or they're being lazy. Like, there's a lot of people that I know in my life that suffer from mental health problems.
Yeah.
And I know they need to love themselves a bit more.
Yeah.
And give themselves a bit more, like...
time.
Care and not hate themselves as much.
Yeah.
However... sometimes their external actions, I'll be like, bruv, like, what the fuck?
Why are you doing that?
Like, you had this commitment or that commitment, and I needed this from you, or you were supposed to go do that for yourself, and I'm watching you do a cycle of actions that like aren't helping you.
I hear that unbelievably.
And yet, you still need to be kinder to yourself, so it's so difficult, because it's like, blatantly kinder to oneself isn't an external thing. I think that's what people need to... Self-care day, although dank, that's not, I don't think, what's meant by you need to be kind to yourself. You need to get up in the morning when you said you were going to get up in the morning.
That's it.
Go to uni, or if you said you were going to go to uni, or go for that walk with someone, or or follow through with the job that you do. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Do all the stuff you still have to do for your own well-being.
Absolutely.
And yet the whole time be going, but it's okay that you're struggling with it,
that,
but you're still going to do it.
That's it. And even if you can't do all of it, you're still going to get up and give all of it a go.
Yeah.
That's definitely it. And I know at times that's really hard, but then they're the moments when it's hard that you need to be doing it the most, because the problem with the cycle, top up the wine sauce.
I will do, Stevie.
The problem with the cycle is that the cycle feels so good, right? Like, because you're like, oh, it's so much easier to live in this cycle than to try and break out and do all the other things that I'm meant to be doing.
Yeah.
But the only way to break out of the cycle and actually form that pure relationship to self, but not even pure, like, kind and understanding and appreciative, is when you start just giving everything a go.
Yeah.
And just in a non-judgmental, totally free way. There are some things that... It's a slight tangent, but there are some things that I recently...
The podcast is literally a tangent.
Literally. There are some things that I... have struggled to admit to myself for a long time. And I'm not even just talking big things. I'm talking small things. I'm talking about the fact that I call myself a vegan, but I'll still buy a chocolate bar in the shop. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And for so long, I used to beat the fuck out of myself for that, because I'd be like, oh, you're not being the person that you're meant to be. But like, what if I am? And what if I'm just getting that, right? Like, what if I can't be that immediately? And every single time that I sit and I shit on myself for having a Cadbury's, but instead of the vegan Cadbury's, I'm taking myself two steps backwards from the person I want to become, but also from myself. I'm detaching myself from myself. And I struggled so much to just be honest with myself, to the point... Like, there was one time I was trying to Google something and I couldn't even put the words there because I didn't want to admit it to myself.
Oh my God, so many times.
Do you know, and I'm trying to reword
crisis,
it.
You're having an anxiety crisis and you actually have to type it in.
Yeah, and you
and
just...
And you do that instead of, if I'm feeling, what if
there
is
someone?
Oh my God, I've literally been there.
It's so tough, but as soon as I do
Oh my God, wait a sec, sorry. Newsflash, never, and I know people say this, but oh my God, never fucking Google... A crisis.
Never Google.
Literally, pretty much never Google anything that's a psychological or social issue.
Because it will fuck you up, man.
It's all bullshit. Had like an absolute crisis like a while back where I was like, this thing's like really bad. Like, I think I'm really fucked up.
I think
my mental health's gone really bad. Google it, bro.
You thought you were done.
It gave me a complex.
Yeah.
It gave me a complex for months. And then I had a conversation with someone. It was just a fleeting conversation. And they're like, oh yeah, no, that's bullshit. And for some reason, I was like, fuck, I've just based like 4 months of chronic anxiety every morning thinking about this, struggling to get up.
Yeah.
Because
on something
that's
a lie,
wasn't even true,
isn't it? And that's,
don't Google shit, bro.
Don't Google shit, but like, not
Google
even...
facts. Mm-hmm. Don't Google psychological issues.
No
unless
way.
It's a psychologist, literally make those forums
mm-mm.
need to fuck off.
Mate, delete Reddit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
Quora,
do you know what?
All of them. Don't ask.
Elmo123 does not know what the fuck
man.
Is going on in your head.
And that's the thing as well. That actually, what you need to listen to me, like I'm the guru of all knowledge. But the best thing I found to in that situation, instead of hopping on ye old Google and being like, please save me, what's wrong, is to just sit down, be like, this is going to be fucking tough, but Stevie, what the hell is going on right now?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, what is going on? Let's actually sit and talk to myself. For me, that's journaling is the forum that I do that. Some people physically sit. Sometimes I do physically sit and talk to myself. Sit, talk to yourself and be like, hey, you little one in there who loves me. Every time I do anything wrong, you're still there for me. Let's have a chat about what's going on in my brain. And maybe together we can work this out.
Yeah.
Like, we can talk through this and it'll be fine. And that is how you build that that loving cuddle to yourself.
Definitely. And also, people say you have all the answers in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you do have all the answers in yourself. However, some of those answers only come from getting told those answers.
For sure.
And then they're in yourself.
Uh-huh.
So if you can't find them in yourself, talk to your loved ones, talk to
your
mum,
talk to
your friends.
Best buddy.
Yeah. Or if you don't have friends, you don't have a mum,
Cool Samaritans, I'm pretty sure.
Call the helplines. I'm not taking the
piss. Yeah, it's not a joke.
The helplines will talk to you
but
about
they're there
shit.
For a reason.
You'll go, oh, you don't want them to think I'm insane and I'll get sectioned. No, yeah. Mate. You no, can call the helpline. It's anonymous for a reason.
But also, the thing is, like, at the end of the day, the reason why the helplines are so great, again, is because it's the conversation with yourself, essentially. You're speaking to an anonymous, non-judgmental body about things that are going on, when at the end of the day, you can be that unjudgmental body and you can talk to yourself through these things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Defo. I mean, the whole thing is just a complicated one,
yeah,
isn't
man.
It? Relationship to oneself.
It's a big thing, and it's not necessarily a topic that we could maybe cover in the podcast.
No. There was another thing, to be fair. Our mates, undoubtedly some of the nicest people I've ever met.
For real.
That wasn't where I was going.
No.
I have some mates, personally, and I think we have the mutual mates.
Uh-huh.
Who, like, honestly are great people, and they don't care if they go out and they make a dumb foolery.
Uh-huh.
And they don't care if they, just like take the piss, you know
yeah,
what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they
yeah.
literally will go out and move mad.
Yeah, but they're
not
just
dangerous, not mean, no, like meaningful,
no,
not harmful
just
to anyone.
Life.
Just like, this is what I want to do, and I'm gonna fucking
uh-huh.
do it. And I don't give a fuck who's looking at me going, oh my god, that girl is like drunk.
Or, yeah,
like, that guy like is like way too fucked right now.
Uh-huh.
Like, they'll just go do what they want to do, and the maddest thing about it is in the morning they wake up and they don't go, oh my god, I fucking
uh-huh.
hate myself.
Uh-huh.
They go,
YOLO.
Like,
I'm a joke man.
Yeah. I respect that so much, because it's like, I think a huge amount of my anxiety and a lot of people's anxiety is cancel culture.
For sure.
Because like, I was on the train the other day, and I have this thing where when I listen to music, I imagine I'm in a completely different
thing.
I'm either the singer or I'm a dancer.
I'm in the concert.
Yeah, or I'm like a fucking Peaky Blinder running through the streets.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't need to explain that. I literally don't understand. I've got a hyperactive imagination.
Yeah, it just is.
And there was one, I like thought back of something I did when I was like a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh my god, but if I did that profession or something, what if someone like tweeted that I like once did that thing? And then
I
got cancelled,
uh-huh.
and no
wow,
one spoke to me.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, I like, had this whole thought process, and like it like made me do a bunch of different things, like talk to like different people and stuff. And like,
yeah, yeah.
It's like cancel culture is so fucked up, because it's not just affecting like influences, like
yeah,
it affects
wow.
you on a personal level.
Yeah, it's not something that I necessarily think about, but maybe I do, but I just don't call it cancel culture, right?
Mm.
Maybe I'm just like, I don't want to do certain things. Yeah, it is cancel culture. It's just not online, right?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want to do certain things because then certain people are going to think certain things about me.
Yeah, definitely.
And
like, your past used to be your past. And
no,
I don't,
that affects me a lot.
Yeah, yeah, and I don't mean that in, like, racist politicians who are also sex offenders.
Uh-huh, no,
like,
no, no.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about,
I'm
like,
saying you said a mean word to someone in year six and you're still stabbing yourself in the
yeah,
face for
I'm
it.
Yeah, I'm talking about, like,
ooh, crikey.
Oh, don't worry, it's just my watercolours.
He's an artiste.
I'm talking about, like,
it's also actually drew the logo for the podcast. I don't know if anyone knew that.
Well, it's only our friends listening, so they probably do.
It was sus.
It's like, it's as small as like that. Like, there was an influencer the other day that came out, like a picture of her from like fucking 6 years ago,
oh, man.
Snorting a key. And it was like her career's over. And I'm like, is it though? Because
is
like
it?
Like, she has like an older teenage fan base in the UK.
Who are all going around sniffing keys right now.
Like, so like, is her career over though? Like, and like, how traumatic do you think that is, that she's now having to sit with maybe like her religious family and
yeah,
like have to like
yeah.
maybe get like disowned? Like, you
yeah.
literally don't know what someone
you have
like.
No idea.
I know people that if their family found stuff like that out due to religious reasons, due to cultural or social
they'd
reasons,
they'd be done.
They're done for.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what I mean? Like, is that really like? Are we so obsessed with like a snapshot or a clickbait or a
mm-hmm.
news article that we'd rather like people like detrimentally are affected by?
Yeah.
It? Like, didn't we learn this from, like, Caroline Flack? And,
yeah.
Like, situations like that. Like,
yeah, man.
Didn't we learn that, like, this isn't about what we said it was about?
No, what? This what?
This podcast.
Yeah, but that's all right. We did say that this was going to be a free-flowing podcast.
I
but that was also
relationship
to self, if
yeah.
you think about it, because
it's affecting what I think I can and can't do with my
exactly.
life.
Exactly.
Because I'm so scared of how other people are going to perceive my past
there
actions.
There we go. But, like, also, when you think about it in a different way, like, these people's relationship to themselves is now changing because of this. So, like, it, for example, it, 50 years ago, like, 15 years ago, it was super cool to wear those tops that said, like, geek on the front, yeah?
Yeah.
Or, like, nerd or whatever. I used to walk around in them. I didn't really care. I'm owning that. Now, if you wanted to do that, you could be cancelled. Maybe not in the traditional sense, but people be like, nah, I'm not going out with you if you dress like that. You're a weirdo. You have bad fashion sense. So you don't do what you want to do.
Yeah.
You don't honour the path that you want to take yourself on. You're not forming that relationship to yourself because you're so worried about the opinions of other people and the way they perceive you. But actually, what you should be worrying about is the way that you... I don't think that's talked about enough. The way you perceive yourself... It's far more important than the way other people perceive you. It, like, the way you perceive yourself externally to those things. Like, who you think you are is so important. And I know a fair few people who don't really think about that.
No.
They don't think about this. They don't consider this. And you can see from the way that they live their life and you can see from the things that they do that they're not actually honouring the person that they want to be or the person they want to become because they're just constantly living by association. They're living through, like, the words of other people. Like,
yeah, 100%, 100%. And I think, like, I did have a point. I'm looking for the point.
Researching.
I'm searching. I was thinking, we were talking about cancel culture. Oh, yeah. Another interesting thing about this podcast is, like, you might have heard what we've just said and thought, like, Jesus, what did they used to do?
Yeah.
Like, literally nothing. This is my point, though. Is that,
yeah,
like,
that's it.
And it's the same thing as the whole not talking about what we think and really what we really feel, the quirks and impurities of, like, personality.
Yeah.
Not talking about them because we don't want to be defined by them.
Mm-hmm.
Mate, I literally know that 9 out of 10 people are scared of getting cancelled.
Yeah.
Even though they know it's, like, not really...
Well,
do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
don't,
for sure.
Like, start questioning what, because we're just being honest about it.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
I mean? And, like, even, like, on that note, like, Stevie knows, like, I literally asked to start editing the podcast because I was so scared that something I said in this little podcast
that about 10 people listen to.
Yeah, that could get me cancelled.
Really,
like,
that's what
it
was.
What if I'm a psychologist in 25 years?
Yeah, mate.
And someone pulls up a clip and takes it out of context and makes
and you're
me
down.
Sound. Yeah,
well, this
then...
is what I think. I would say, when I get into politics or research,
well,
they do, like, a background check, they find this and they hear me, like, creasing out about things I shouldn't be. But that's the point. Like, it doesn't matter, because if you actually ask me about it, I could tell you that the context, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. It's mad, really. Because no one actually gives a fuck
about
you or me.
Well, that's...
And yet they're still prepared to, like, detrimentally affect your life.
It's nuts. It's kind of similarly to a point of that about quirks. I've always been told I'm quite a quirky person. You may think that I have some odd tendencies, and that's fine. And one of the things that I would always... was worried about was having a tic growing up. It was, like, a big issue for me. The first year of uni, it was like, I say that and then tic, because that's just the way that life works.
Yeah,
it's the way life works. When you say it, it happens. So anyone who sees me for the next 2 weeks, I'm gonna be nodding like a freak over here.
Yeah.
But it was something that I was really worried about because it went away for, like, a long time, and then I was, like, coming to uni, and the whole way through first year of uni and for a bit, like, it was really bad, and I was really worried that I was going to be defined by that. I thought people would think I was weird or that I had, like, a problem or whatever. And I would, like, to the point I'd, like, go into my room, like, tick it out and then, like, come out.
Because
I was like, I don't want people to see me do this. Yeah.
I do that at work. I go into the back room and I...
Yeah, tick it out
and
then come
in.
Exactly. But then when I actually realised, I brought it up, I think. I was talking to people I was living with in the first year about it, and they were all, like, genuinely... I didn't even realise, and even if I had now, I do realise, because you've brought it to my attention, like, we don't care, you know, like, literally no one cares.
Well, yeah.
And that's the point. It's like, I had really, like, ruined a few experiences for myself, being so worried that people would think, and this probably does stem from, like, childhood, but, like, that I was, oh, she's so weird, like, what's wrong with her? Like, I was once told I need to go to a disabled school because I had a tic, like, what's that about?
So fucked up.
In it, but, like, and then when you actually realise that, like, as you get older, like, really no one gives a fuck.
No.
Like, life becomes so much easier.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Wow, we've been doing this for a while now here.
Yeah, I mean, I hope you guys got something from it.
Yeah, well, look, thank you for listening to our relationship on our relationship, our episode on relationship to self. We hope that you take away from this that your relationship to yourself is so important. You should do what you can do to make that stronger. But on days when you can't, like, that's all right too. Just, like, live and love, do you know?
Yeah, and keep your eyes and ears out because we'll do a poll on Instagram about relationships.
Yes, we will. So, yeah.
We hope you have a lovely 2 weeks. The weather is shit.
Yeah, the weather was crap at the moment. So we hope it brightens
up. Stay indoors.
Yeah, stay indoors. Plug in. Drink a glass of red wine.
Yeah, honestly, watch some Game of Thrones.
Ooh.
Stream it illegally.
Yeah, everyone does.
Holly's boyfriend's got like this, like he just like put it all on a USB at me, and Holly went, oh, you're so tech savvy.
Wow, you're so tech savvy. I love a man that can work his way around a computer.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, guys.
Have a great time.
Peace, love, and unity.
Peace, love, and unity.
Ride safe, guys.
Ride safe and ride happy.
Yee. Woo.